Things Which Must Shortly Come to Pass by Professor David Engelsma. Chapter 4, Post-Millennialism, Part 11. The Fundamental Elements of Post-Millennial Eschatology, Continued. A third fundamental element of post-millennialism's doctrine of the last things is preterism. Preterism is post-millennial eschatology, is a certain way of explaining all the New Testament passages that predict abounding lawlessness, apostasy, Antichrist, and tribulation in the last days, that is, the days immediately preceding the return of Christ. Preterism explains all these passages as referring to events that, with regard to the church in the 21st century, have already happened in the distant past. The word preterism derives from the Latin word meaning past. Contemporary postmillennialists make a verb out of this new theological term, preterize. When a postmillennial interpreter of the Bible exerts himself to explain some New Testament passage prophesying struggle and persecution for the church in the last days as referring to that which has already occurred in the past, he is said to preterize the passage. The importance, indeed necessity, of preterism for postmillennialism is immediately obvious. Postmillennialism forecasts earthly victory for the church in the last days. Vast numbers of converts will swell the membership of the church worldwide, at the very least a majority of the human race. The world of nations will be Christianized, that is, live in obedience to the law of God in all spheres of life. The church will enjoy earthly peace and prosperity. She will exercise earthly dominion. The church will rule the world. The future of the church in history is the golden age. Against these optimistic prospects stand all the numerous New Testament passages warning the church of abounding lawlessness in the world of the ungodly and in the churches. Matthew 24, verse 12, and 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and following. Of the becoming cold of the love of many church members and a great falling away from the truth. Matthew 24, verse 12, and 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Of the rearing up of the world power of Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 and following, and Revelation 13. And of great tribulation for the disciples of Christ, Matthew 24, verse 21, and Revelation. If these passages apply to the church throughout the time of the New Covenant, for the whole of the present age is the last days and last hour, as Acts 2, verse 17 and 1 John 2, verse 18 teach, and if they apply especially to the church in the time immediately before the coming of Christ, postmillennialism is exposed as an empty dream and a dangerous delusion. What to do with these most unwelcome passages, these surds in the postmillennial calculation? Why, explain them all as referring to events that took place long ago. Preterize them, one and all. Then, the warnings which to postmillennialism are pessimistic do not apply to the church of the 21st century. All such passages, a huge section of New Testament scripture, hold merely historical interest for the church and believer today. The main instance of preterism for contemporary postmillennialism is undoubtedly the explanation of most of Matthew 24 as referring exclusively to the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. The theologian whose interpretation of the passage is decisive for postmillennialists is J. Marcellus Keek. Rusus J. Rushdani indicates his dependence on Keek's interpretation of Matthew 24 in his endorsement of the new edition of the book containing Keek's exegesis of the chapter. The writings of J. M. Keek give us that eschatology of victory which Scripture sets forth. Martin G. Selbreed has acknowledged that virtually all Reconstructionists appreciate the service Keek has performed for postmillennialism by successfully preterizing the first half of Matthew 24. With appeal to verse 34, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled." Keek insists that everything foretold by Christ in Matthew 24 prior to verse 34 happened completely and finally in the days leading up to and including the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. We read, the key to Matthew 24 is verse 34. Everything mentioned in the previous verses were to be fulfilled before the contemporary generation would pass away. The verse 34 verses of Matthew 24, along with verse 35, deal with the destruction of Jerusalem. On Keek's interpretation of Matthew 24, verse 1 through 35, the wars of verse 6, the catastrophes in creation of verse 7, the persecution of verse 9, the heresies and apostasy of verses 11 and 12, and the false prophets and false Christs, the many antichrists and a personal antichrist, happened fully and exhaustively before AD 70. Indeed, Christ's prophecy that the gospel would be preached worldwide was realized by the year AD 70, which absurd explanation of verse 14 by itself exposes the falsity of preterism and therefore of postmillennialism. The end of verse 14, which immediately follows the preaching of the gospel to all the nations, is not the bodily return of Christ in the future, as the churches of the Reformation have always been taught, but the end of the Jewish nation as the covenant people, and the end of the types and shadows of the old covenant, especially the temple and its service, in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 by the Roman army. In addition, the Great Tribulation of Matthew 24, verse 21, does not at all apply to the church, but to the Roman persecution and slaughter of the Jews in the days leading up to AD 70. Even the Lord's promise of his coming, a visible coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, in verse 30, was fulfilled, not merely typically, but actually and fully in AD 70 in the destruction of Jerusalem. Hear the difficulty, if not impossibility, of the preterism of Keek and his exegetical disciples to hold at bay the full preterism of such men as James Stuart Russell, R.C. Leonard, and J.E. Leonard is evident. Russell and the Leonards teach that all the eschatological prophecies of Scripture were fulfilled in A.D. 70. According to them, there will be no future bodily coming of Christ, no future resurrection of the bodies of all humans, no future final judgment, no future destruction of the present form of creation by fire, and no future new heaven and earth. They say, since the coming of Christ, as predicted in the New Testament documents, has already taken place, little scriptural basis exists for perpetuating the doctrine that it still lies in the future. We have presented the evidence that the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 represents the fulfillment of what the apostolic church knew as the promise of Jesus' coming and the end of the age. The future hope of today's church, therefore, lies in another direction. For today's Christians, the last days to which the New Testament refers lie in the past. Our task is not to anticipate the end, but to live in the new community inaugurated by Jesus Christ. These are the end-time scoffers who say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" that we read of in 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. The contemporary postmillennialists in the Reformed sphere insist, loudly and even angrily, that their form of preterism be distinguished from the full, consistent preterism of Russell and the Leonards as only a partial and, ominously, inconsistent preterism. Keek and the Christian Reconstructionists want to hold on to a bodily, visible coming of Jesus Christ in the future. But their explanation of the coming of Christ promised in Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31 must prove fatal to their desire, no matter how sincere, to maintain the future coming of Christ. The reason is not so much that the description of the future coming of Christ elsewhere in the New Testament, for example, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14 through 17, and 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 through 10, is unmistakably similar to the description in Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31. But the reason is that the testimony of the apostles to the coming of Christ is based on Christ's own teaching of this coming in Matthew 24 and in the parallel passages in Mark 13 and Luke 21. If Christ, in Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31, was referring not only typically and provisionally but also actually, exhaustively, and finally to his coming in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, so also must the apostolic testimony to the coming of Christ refer exclusively to that past event. At the very least, the postmillennialists are playing an exceedingly dangerous game with their preterist explanation of Matthew 24. It is a game that jeopardizes nothing less than the promise of the bodily coming of Christ, the climax of all the promises of the gospel, as of all the ways and purposes of God in history and the great hope of the church. That the danger is real is evident in the full and consistent preterists, Russell, the Leonards, and others. The contemporary full and consistent preterists aggressively promote their eschatology, or rather complete lack of an eschatology. That the danger is real is also evident from the falling away of one of the Christian Reconstructionists' own, David Chilton, into full and consistent preterism, that is, the hope-destroying and soul-damning heresy of denying a future, bodily, visible coming of Jesus Christ. And the reason why the postmillennialists in the Reformed churches are willing to play this risky preterist game is their dream of an earthly kingdom of Christ in a golden age in history. It is this very obsession with an earthly kingdom of Christ that drives the full and consistent preterist to deny a future bodily coming of Christ altogether. Our task is not to anticipate the end, but to live in the new community inaugurated by Jesus Christ.